Romans chapter 9, aren't we? So let's go to Genesis. Now, does anyone remember how I left off last week? Be a miracle, but does anyone remember how I left off? You know, I gave you two places in the Bible that it talks about the Word of God. You remember in Isaiah 55, we went there and it says, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth that it may bring forth and bud, that it may provide seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Now, that's God's ecological system, folks. And last time I checked, it's still working. It's still working. But the next verse says what that's illustrating. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that in which I please, and it shall prosper in that thing whereunto I sent it. And then I took you to Hebrews chapter 4. Remember he said, Hebrews chapter 4 starts out by saying, let us fear lest we should come short of a promise of entering into his rest. And then it comes on down there and it says it again. Don't come short of the rest. And then the next verse tells you why. And the verses that follow tell you why. That you want to make sure you don't come short. Everybody knows what that means, don't you? It doesn't mean how close you get to it. It doesn't mean how far away you're from it. Bless God, it doesn't matter if you're short. You know, there's an old saying, I'm not a carpenter, I'm not anything. I hire everything done because I can't do anything. I have to pay my wife to do some things. But I do know this. Measure twice, cut once. Otherwise, you're going to be cutting twice. Because you're going to come up short or long. Wouldn't make any difference in that instance whether it's short or long. It doesn't fit, right? And that's what it's saying. So he's saying, make sure that you don't come up short now. Don't. And the reason he's saying this in Hebrews, he's talking to Israelites. Remember in Romans, you say, Tom, I thought it was in Romans 9. Well, I'm teaching it just as hard as I know how. He's talking to Jewish people in Hebrews. Jewish people that are still, a lot of them stuck in the old covenant of animal sacrifice, which God ordained. But it's no longer good because Christ has come. Christ is the high priest now. Christ is the sacrifice now. That don't work. And that's what he's saying. Don't come up short of the rest. Christ is the rest. And then he says this. He says, for the word of God. And remember, I talked to you about that. You say, Tom, why do you rehash this stuff? Well, because nobody knew where I left off. Sometimes we forget. And you'll pardon me if I get a little emotional. Sometimes we forget what this is. This isn't the number one selling book in the world, Gene. Although it is. This is the Word of God. Look, you either believe that or bless God, you don't. This is the Word of God. And he says, for the Word of God. That, remember he said, which goeth forth out of my mouth, and over in Isaiah. He said, for the word of God is quick, meaning it's alive. Bless God, that's not a dead word. That'll save you. That'll take a dead person and give them life. What do you think about that? That's why it says the next thing. It's quick and it's powerful. Paul said in Romans, if you remember when we first started in that first chapter, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Gentile or the Greek. It's powerful. It's quick and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. You want to know how deep that water go? Bless God, it'll go down where nobody else has been. You know, I hear people say, yeah, I can see their heart. No, bless God, you can't. But I'll tell you who can. Well, God, but that word is God. He says it's, hey, it'll pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and y'all heard of bone marrow transplants, haven't you? That's where they take that long needle and they go inside that bone. And they extract something that'll give you what? Bless God, it'll give you life. Huh? Just ask anybody that's had a successful bone transplant, bone marrow transplant, and they'll tell you, bless God, I was going to die till they did that. Well, that's how far this word goes, folks. It goes down in there. And he says that it goes to the joints and to the marrow and is a, starts with a D, thank you. If you're reading, brother, please, when you're going down the road tomorrow, don't be looking in your Bible reading. That's why I try to get you to know this. It's a discerner. Everybody knows what that means. Brother, you know what that means, don't you? Because she's a discerner. She knows more about you than you know about yourself. Oh, don't tell me that. Don't tell me no. I got one too. Bless God, she knows what I'm thinking before I'm thinking it. She finishes my sentence when I'm stuttering. But she's not the Word of God. She's not God. You know why this is important, honey? Because, you see, a person has to come to the realization that their problem is not on the outside. I'm going to give you, please, I'm not getting political. I'm teaching now. So don't you go out of here and say, oh, Tom, he's getting political now. Do you know why that police officer kept his knee on that man's neck for 9 minutes almost and for even 2.5 minutes after they couldn't even find a pulse? Listen, you can have all the reform you want. You won't reform that man. His problem was down deep. His problem was down deep. Only the Word of God can get down in there in the crevices of the depth of the darkness. It says man loved darkness rather than light because his deeds are evil. Man knows what's down in there. He don't want it exposed. But if you're not willing to expose what's in there, God can't help you. God won't help you. God's not going to help you. So he says that it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Neither, it says. Neither. You know what our pastor says. I don't say those things, but you know what he says about the blown in the mayonnaise and all that stuff. Well, don't. I'm not into all that, but here's what it says. It's adding on now. He says, not only that, that's what the word neither means. Farther than that, he says, neither is there any creature. Raise your hand if you're a creature. Bless God, yeah. That's my assistant. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest. Now, you know what that means, don't you? Seen, revealed. Hypothetical now. Hypothetical. Don't run out on me. Don't run out. Hypothetical. You're lost. And you don't want anybody to know you're lost. And you're trying to hide all your sins from people. You're trying to hide the way you live from people. Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can live a life where nobody knows. How many times have you heard a neighbor say, boy, I would have never known that about my neighbor doing that.
Right, that's right.
He says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. For they are all naked. Naked. We say exposed. Nothing covering you. Everything's revealed.
Like in the Garden of Eden. They found out they were naked.
When they sinned.
Yeah. So they covered it up.
Only when they sinned. So then they covered it up. That's what man does. Man wants to cover it. Man's pretty good at it, too. He uses religion a lot of times to do it, too. Huh? Yeah, I go to church. Yeah. Oh, I help the poor. Huh? You talked to a guy yesterday, didn't you? Well, I know about Jesus. I hope I'm going. He's not realizing God sees everything in him. Why don't you just bring it to God? He already knows it anyway. All he's asking you to do is know what he knows. That he knows. And he says, for everything is naked. And then it says, and opened. And remember, that's where I left off. Remember, I asked you where I left off. And I told you what that meant. Does anybody remember? I gave you that word in the Greek, and it means something that you would have never thought. The world won't tell you this because the world don't want you to realize it. But God tells you because God knows you need to realize it. You looked, didn't you?
Yeah, I had to because I'm old. My brain doesn't.
Here's what it means.
He's got you.
He's got you by the throat, and he's ready to sacrifice you. Now, what that tells me is this, Jenna. Either you'll accept him as your sacrifice, or you're going to be the sacrifice. God's going to get his sacrifice, folks, for sin. God's going to get it. God ain't backing up from it. God ain't, remember I told you, not that the word of God hath taken none effect. What did I tell you that meant? What that means is not that the word of God is going to get driven off course. God ain't changing who God is. This world can change who they are, supposedly. Good to see you, Larry. That's an answer to prayer. Bless God. But God ain't changing it. God ain't changing his course. God ain't changing his word. You'll come his way, bless God, or you'll not come. And so he says, and is opened before him with whom we have to do. Have to do simply means this right here. of him before whom we will one day stand and answer. It's no different than committing a crime and going to court and standing before the judge to hear your indictment read and asking you how you plead. I'm on earth.
Well, you won't be in court standing in front of them. Right.
People stand before a judge guilty, and their attorney will tell them to plead. Not guilty. Now, why would somebody guilty plead not guilty? Well, maybe I can get it by this court, bless God. Maybe they can't prove it. You're starting to pick up what I'm putting down now, aren't you? Yeah, but I got news for them. When they stand before the judge of all the earth, who will do right? Bless God, they won't be no attorney standing there. Your attorney's standing there now. That's Jesus, the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's the attorney. If you'll go to him, he'll tell you plead guilty. Plead guilty. Bless God, don't go in there and tell God you're not guilty. Go in there and say, God, I'm as guilty as I can be.
Forgive me, Lord.
Well, you're not. Teach. God. So, and if you remember, he goes on after that and he talks about the promise. And he says, neither are they the children, neither are they, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they children. For the seed of Isaac shall be called. The called. And then he says, that is, in other words, here's what I'm trying to say, is what Paul is trying to say there. That is, he says, neither because they are children of the flesh. You remember when Jesus was talking to them and they said, oh, we be of our father Abraham. We're not bastards. Well, that's not what it says. He says, neither because they are children of the flesh or descendants of Abraham, are they the children of God. So the next time you hear somebody get on TV and say, we're all children of God, turn it off. If you listen to that, you're listening to a lie. We are not all children of God. Because he goes on to say, the children of the promise shall be counted as the seed. Now, who's the children of the promise? Well, those who come through the promise. Who's the promise? Well, brother, if you don't say it louder, she didn't hear a word you said. Folks, it's not just a mythical promise out there. The promise is a person. The promise is God himself. You'll be called a child of God because God says you're a child of God. Dwayne, or you won't be one. You say, but nothing. You'll be called a child of God because God calls you a child of God. Because she follows that up by talking about where I was going to in Genesis, but I'm on the road, not going there now. Talks about Rebecca. Now, y'all remember Rebecca, and I told you last week that Isaac was how old when he entreated God for a child for Rebecca?
40.
Thank you, 40. And how old was he when she had?
60.
20 years. I had to wait 20 years. It says, but Rebecca conceived of her father Isaac. And while the children were yet in her womb. Now the reason it goes there is because if you go back to Genesis, Rebekah came to the Lord and she entreated the Lord. And she said, Lord, she said, Can you sort of tell me why these children inside me are fighting so much? Now, I've never had a child. I don't know if you've ever had twins. Anybody ever had twins? Well, she had twins. And it's all-time fighting. Now, it's one thing after you've had them, they're all-time fighting. So we all stop fighting, right? Well, she went to the Lord and said, Lord, why are they fighting inside me so much? And here's what he told her. He says, Rebecca, two nations shall be born of thee. And then he says this. I want you to pay really close attention. I'll read it to you. Two manner of people. I think it's 26, but when I get there, I'll tell you. Genesis. Yeah, okay, here it is, in 25. Here it goes, and verse 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel and Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban and the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Isn't that wonderful? Here's a barren wife, and Isaac goes to her and said, Lord, would you let my wife have a child? And, okay. Now, do you think she'd have had a child if he hadn't entreated the Lord?
No.
And the children struggled together. There's fighting. That's what it means. Within her. Must have been so uncomfortable. Knocking furniture over and everything. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. I just don't understand why this. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Now, we know what nations are, don't we? Well, that's Russia and Great Britain and Australia and the United States. No, it's people. Those are just lands where the people live. And we call them nations, but the nations are made up of people. And so he says, two groups of people are in thy womb. And two manner of people. Now here's what the word manner means. Two courses. Two roads. Two ways of life. Two journeys. Two conversations, two highways, two pathways. One was going one way, and one was going another. And y'all know what happened after they were born. Esau is out in the field one day, and he's starved to death when he gets in, and he's so hungry. And Jacob has made some vegetable soup delight. And he said, oh, give me that vegetable soup. I am fainting. And Jacob said, okay, I'll give you some. But there's something I want from you. I want your birthright. Now, the birthright belonged to the firstborn. But the reason that happened is because what God told her else before that. He said, the elder shall serve the younger. God made that choice, folks. Don't miss that. I'm teaching this morning on the sovereignty of God. And I told you last week, we have so taken God off the throne. God is on the throne. He's sovereign. He does what he wants to. He loves who he wants to. He hates who he wants to. He saves who he wants to. And he sends to hell who he wants to. He's God. And you'll not say one thing to him about it. You say, but Tom, how will I know? Well, stay with me. Stay with me. I saw some puzzled faces. I get it. Listen, I'm a madman, I know it. But I promise you, I've been in this, folks. I've been in this for hours on hours. I don't bring you in here out of another book. I get in this book. It's in this book. And you'll see. You'll see. So just hang with me. So that's what he told. And so then he comes down there, and y'all know what happened. He sold his birthright out, right? Okay. So come on over here to chapter, if I can find it. Oh, I made me a little note there. Hunger will make you do things you regret. Now, remember when he came down there and he said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I. You know, and I talked to some preacher brethren of mine, friends of mine, and I told them that. And you know what they told me? Now, Tom. That's okay. Now, Tom. Now, God is love. I said, I don't have a problem with that. John 3:16. He so loved this, gave his only begotten son that whosoever. Oh. Pardon me, that whosoever's in there, otherwise it would, whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But whosoever believeth not is condemned already. Bless God. That's what it says. That's what it says.
Amen.
See? And so I said, yeah, God is God of love. But if God chooses to hate you, my friend, he'll hate you. He's God. It's his choice. See, we've got to get God back on. You say, Tom, what point are you trying to make? I'm going to make it here in just a second if you'll stay with me. If we don't get God back on the throne, folks, people are not going to get saved.
Amen.
Because they're going to see God is accepting them any old way they want to be. If you don't believe me, just Google Hillsong Church.
Amen.
And see what's done under the guise of church. I know I get upset. I apologize.
You're not upset.
But I'm passionate about this, folks.
Yeah.
This is God's word.
Yeah.
And it's not returning void, so I guess that means it's pretty important.
Yes.
It's pretty important.
Praise God.
Now, so if you will, with that thought in mind, go back over to Romans. Or Malachi, I'm sorry, Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1 starts off with something you'll be very familiar with. Chapter 1, Malachi. I'm not getting there as fast as I'd like to. But I'm getting there, so hang on. Okay, here we go. The burden, have you heard that word lately? Remember Paul said, boy, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow. This burden on me, it never lets up for his brethren. His kinsman in the flesh. Well, where did he get it? I told you where he got it. I said he got it from God. He didn't just conjure it up. Well, this proves it because it says the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel. God was even burdened for Israel. Israel was God's chosen people. Didn't mean they was children of God, folks. He said, if you obey my word, then I'll be your God and you'll be my people. But if you disobey me, I won't be. So he says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you. Talking to Israel now, I want you to listen to this. What did I tell you that manner of people meant? Thank you. I tell you what, don't read them notes as you go down the road in the morning. Okay, here we go. I have loved you. Was that true? My goodness. He called him. He said, I didn't call you because you was a great nation. I called you because you was a little nation.
Yeah.
I called you because I can call you. I'm God. I can call anybody I want to. I could have called a big nation, but I chose you. Folks, let me tell you something. If you're saved today, it's because he chose you. Huh? You say, but I chose. No, you didn't do nothing. He chose you. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. The point is you want to get to where God will choose you. It's sort of like when I was growing up. I was a little old bitty thing, wasn't too big like I am now. I'm a big old thing. I wish I was a little old thing. But we'd play baseball. And you know how they did back then. They'd choose. They'd take the two best players, and they would choose from the other players. It seemed like I was. I mean, man, I was wanting, come on, I can play, I can play better than he can. Come on, I know I can play better than he can. And they just keep, that person was choosing. Listen, I could scream all I wanted to, but they were choosing. Now.
I always got chosen first, though, because it's my ball and bat.
Okay, you take it and go home. All right, now. How could I get to where I would get chosen?
Be good at it. Follow God. Obey
Him. No, we're on earth. In their eyes, who are choosing the team, if I get better and I'm better than these people, they would choose me, right?
Right.
File that. I'll come back to it. We'll see if that works. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, here's what I say, I loved you, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Can you imagine that? That's a jaw dropper, folks, for me. How has God loved us? He won every battle they ever had that he sent them to. Those he didn't send them to, they didn't do too good. He fed them when they were hungry. He gave them water when they were thirsty. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothing on their back never give out. And yet they say, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. I hated Esau. Why did he hate Esau? Well, because Esau saw that it displeased his father to marry Canaanite women. And he knew that it would displease God too. And you know what he did? He married Canaanite women. Contrary to what God says. Let me tell you something. You live your life contrary to what God says. And we'll see if you're in the love of God or not. That doesn't mean God doesn't love the world and didn't give his son, folks. Don't misunderstand that. But if you think you can live any old way you want to and do whatever you want to and think whatever you want to think and that you're in the love of God, you're badly mistaken.
Amen.
Because there is two ways. One that he loves, he's done said it, and one that he... There's no mistaking that, folks. I tell you what, do. This week, look up the word beloved. Look up the word beloved. And just do you a little study on it. Everybody knows what beloved means, don't you? It means I'm loved, right? Well, do you a little study on it and see if there is not an inference there that there's a circumstance in which you aren't the beloved. And if you aren't the beloved, you ain't loved. That doesn't mean God's not loved, folks. He can chew chewing gum and walk at the same time. He's God. But he's going to choose according to how he's going to choose. So he says, I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. And then look down here what it says. And your eyes shall, pardon me, whereas Edom said, now Edom is Esau, We are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now listen, I told my brother the other day, our president better be careful, folks. He's bragging a little too much on himself. He's bragging a little too much on himself. I'm not getting political. God's made this country what this country is, a great nation. And when you start not giving God credit, guess what? Ain't going to work out. So I'm just saying that. So here's what they said in verse 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar. That's what the Lord said. Now the Lord's answering them. They said, Where have we not loved you? He says, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible, is despised. They're arguing with God. I tell you what, just argue with God if you want to. Let the world argue with God if they want to. You'll never win an argument with God. You have? I'd sure like to be enlightened.
Studying, listening, arguing with him, him showing me.
Oh, now wait. Now that's debating. No, I'm talking about if you're wrong and arguing with God about what's right.
I was wrong every time.
I'm talking about arguing with him when you're wrong and telling him you're right. That won't work out. Now, go, if you will, to Romans 9 real quick. I'm going to read. Hopefully I've laid enough groundwork to where it'll work out. So, in that's 11, Tommy. Got to get in that. All right. You know, sometimes it's hard. It's hard for me to see the verses. I've got so much scribbling in this thing. It's hard for me to tell what I wrote and what God wrote. All right, here's what it says. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. They've done nothing now. They've done no good. They've done no evil. That the purpose or the plan of God, according to, well, look that word up, and if it don't mean choice, I'll quit teaching. I'll be here next week, Lord willing. 11, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Is that what happened?
Yes.
Just as sure as you're sitting where you're sitting, that's exactly what happened. Because his word doesn't return void, folks. It accomplishes and prospers in what he sends it for. And then it says this, as it is written. Well, is that the same thing as saying, thus saith the Lord? Well, you better believe it. God said, I'll just put it that way. I'll just be emphatic with it. God said, Jacob have I loved. I just read it to you. And Esau have I hated. Now, if you look that word hated up in the Hebrew, it means personally. So that you make no mistake about it, he not only hated Esau personally, he hated everyone that went Esau's way, because he says there's two manner of people. There's two courses. There's two roads. Listen, there's a straight gate and a narrow way. There's a wide gate and a broad way. You better choose which one you're in. One's Jacob, one's Esau. He's going to hate one and love the other one. And if you're on the wrong one, don't go around saying, well, God loves me. You'll never know the love of God. He says, except you repent, where I go, you cannot. Thank you. That's his word. It won't return void, and it won't get off course. You will do what he says or else. So then he goes on down here and he says, remember I told you to file something earlier. Well, I'm coming to it now. He says, what shall we say then? He knew what this. He knew what was going to be in their mind. Remember, he's the discerner of the hearts and intents of the heart. He says, the thoughts and intents of the heart. He says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is God wrong then? Because he says, I love Jacob and I hate Esau. Well, could God be wrong? God's never wrong, folks. He's right. We're wrong. We're wrong. But you know the good news about that? When we're wrong, and we're Esau when we're wrong, brother. I'll come over here for a while now. When we're wrong, we're Esau. When we're wrong with God, we're on a different course. We're on the wrong road. We're on the wrong path. We're on the wrong way. But guess what? God can take an Esau and make a Jacob out of him. God can take a person from all they know is his hatred for the sin that they're in, the way that they're on, the path they're trodden, and bless God, he can wash them as white as snow. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Bless God, I'll take you as Esau, but I'll make you Jacob. All you have to do is believe me. Come my way, bless God, and believe me. And then he says this, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on who I'll have mercy. And I'll have compassion. You know when he said that, don't you? Well, you remember when Moses come down off the mountain, they had this calf. And God said, get out of the way, Moses, I'm going to kill every one of them. I'm paraphrasing now. He said, get out of the way. Well, does that sound like he's loving them? No. Huh? That don't sound like he's loving them to me. That sounds like he's so angry with them, he could kill every one of them. And God said, no, Lord, don't do that. He interceded for them. He said, Lord, no, don't do that. Because if you do that, back in Egypt, they'll say, well, look, the Lord took them out in the wilderness just to kill them. Then you'll look bad. God said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to send the sword through the camp. He killed 3,000. You know what that says to me?